is the author of To Speak While Dreaming, published in 1993 by Selva Editions. She's also a recipient of California Arts Council Residency Grant in San Francisco, where she teaches writing to children, the homeless, and at the San Francisco Art Institute. She has work appearing in Japan, has been translated into French, and will be published in France this fall. She recently received the Gertrude Stein Award in Innovative American Writing, which will culminate in an anthology to be published by Sun and Moon Press. Along with Matt Corey, who runs Rodent Press, she has produced a chapbook specifically for this event entitled Poetics of the Exclamation Point. She's an alumni of the MFA program in writing poetics at Naropa, and this spring our offices were rocked with the news that Eleni had received a 1995 Creative Writing Fellowship in Poetry from the deeply endangered National Endowment for the Arts. The poet Ansem Hallow has described her work as, quote, poems which make one, i.e. me, rush off to write something myself, and that, I think, is the highest compliment any practitioner can pay to another. When I asked a longtime friend of and fellow poet of Eleni's to describe her work, I was told, she's in love with it, the poem. She pays attention to the weight of the words. Please welcome Eleni Siklianos.
Thank you, Max. Hello. Very grateful to be here this evening and with so many people that I'm grateful to in the audience and reading. How are you doing?
Good.
Also very grateful to Matt Corey and Rodent Press for putting this little chapbook out in about 2 hours. The condensed version. Little Pasha. Oh, climates found inside God already, birds by a slip-up, angels by default, wings by heaven. Oh, my most monstrous species. Oh, happy, happy genes. Sierra of my amok, ambrosia of my world, at the base of the stars, at the top of the tower, whatever. America, I stick with you. Through your cool geophagy, your clandestine trysts with moons, I stick with you, hyperbolic, hot, tied up, deaf, dumb, blind. Through your bouncing mouth bombs, your snapping eye blankets, my most abstract nation of shacks, I stick with you, shackled a sham, fisting to finger fuck, NAFTA to poof. Luxurious little Pasha, you're my illustrious little speck in the cosmos. The Wild Beasts. These, by the way, are indebted to Cesar Vallejo's last poems, his posthumous poems, and the titles have nothing to do with the poems. Or at least they might, but I don't know yet what that is. Hi, how are you? I'm totally in ruins. Sitting here amidst the morning thunder, my mouth harp broken, my little box blowing the afternoon to bits. Oh, blow it to kingdom come, love, till you do come between my teeth, and the leaves tremble on their already shaky trees. The Hungry Man's Wheel. He carries an astonishing hierarchy of tools. He can't stand it when I stop to say, you. Move aside, waters of muffled ubiquity. The monolith is walking with his astonishing tools, which integrate wings and bellowing. He certainly is one terse atom. He certainly is the sky's technique. He's about 95% everything. And about 5% whatever. He's a human field, a solar something, a nutritious sea. And when I love him, I love him. And he goes down like a chorus of replies, my little chicken yard angel. Gotta watch out for those chicken yard angels. I don't know what they look like, but. The miners came out of the mine. till my mouth wedged a crack in time, till my high oxide annealed the sun, my cunnilingus apparatus tremendous. I am the metal that exhausts itself coming from the nuptial ruined hide. Mercury gathers in the sleepless organs, shod in ancient works, shooting edge and point, my prodigious saliva. Watch out for the prodigious saliva as well. Ma foi la folie. I like the way you touched me last night, gentle, tender, almost personal, in the middle of my left eye, a little too close to the pupil. I'm not having a depression right now, just a little crise de foi, my faith, my liver, for some of the things of this world are beautiful. Thank you. I think I recognize Tom Peters' whistle out there. Psalm. Yea, and so it was, and yea, so be it, whose heart is all down with love, whom to love his armpit he doth submit. From my shoe, with my voice I will open your something or other lantern, your prodigal shaft, your morning rom, your ocular illusion, and all your nerves. Fortunate cookie, double happiness to thy corrosive tumulus. By the way, tumulus is also a grave mound. Song of La Piedra Cansada. I know in your ear the cartilage is beautiful. So I write to you with my fingers all over the page, you luminous literato, you rakish sea grain. I will write to fit inside your full extension, all the while whistling to death. Sermon de la Barbarie. After that, I went to work in a sugar factory, and I numbered you queen, and you were higher, more of an altar, you were most, and I called you Calles, and you walked there, swimming naufragé with a corona of shade, your corneas busted like topaz. Thirst-driven, you slaked the oxen home, and there sounded mi cuerpo like bells over the campesina. And all of the dream, all of the rivers dreamed. And there was a hymn full of wood for you then, and we listened, and the world sang it then. Tu, y tu, y tu, y tu, you, and you, and you, and you. And this is the last in the event book, and I'll move on to something else. This is called The Emotional Stomach, which does have something to do with the poem. I see that my mouth has hurt you. It's cold out, the stars are going about, and cars. I would like to see more of myself in the picture. Look, here's a word. It means so much to me. Thank you. I've been obsessed with, those were a response to a long work that was very quiet and a series of fragments. I really wanted a poem that could happen in a page. But then after I did those, I started another long series of fragments on the same topic. I seem to be obsessed with sex and love. And I got talked out of reading my catalog of lovers tonight. I know. But Leanne sufficed. So this is from a trilogy of sorts called The Blue Coat. It's less explicit. I just took some pieces from two of the different sections, one which is titled The Blue Coat and one which is The Lover's Numbers. Pull the blue coat tight around you, night. I have swallowed this word and broke my tongue upon the shore. Sexualis Magica, which is a title taken from a Norma Cole and Michael Palmer reading. They found a book called Sexualis Magica in a library at Royaumont. Lance to the bone, but good. In the third hall, raise it to the fourth power. To encourage butterflies around a child's mouth, to increase the glow, to grow back the hero inside you. Skin is so controversial, blood is. Butterfield, I lie down. Finger the mule teeth, de-sex the plum. Scare out the bees from the hive in your hair. I sip the X of your pronouns and then I de-sip their sex. Smack the needle home in the cryptic exposition at the inside of your voice. I open the eye of you hiding inside the band. Aurora, we can do all of these things. Civis Mi Flores starts with a Horace quote, which I don't know what it means, and I translate it as, if you want to see me flower. If you want to see me flower vis-a-vis your hot, diminutive hand, my heliocentric little parliament of bees, parlay, name the lacteal season in your mouth who's dumb-housed now, believe. And see how my hem of her lies unmustered, distant hymen. And see how my lingua clots uncloud. Oh, erudite little ambush, if you want to see me flower, then whistle. Thank you. The He River over me, albescent under the coming water, xenogenesis, I take it inside, center the sun, enter seismic. Seed this cloud with silver ammonite rushing at tongue root, and I will rain, and I will rain. Abstract my thigh from the state of your mouth. I worked it into the ground and kneading, embraced the plates of blood beneath, what bossed between us, skin. To begin with the eye in the middle of you, I am so goddamn sexed in the section of his mid-heaven station shit. There is a constellation inside his foot, which leads me to suppose Osiris, Isis, Sun, Ra, Amen, you have been so near my kidneys. The other one was more explicit. If your mouth didn't say it right, your fingers might have. I used my pussy. The text was out of my mouth. I remember narrating my body, so afraid of anything, so. Said, smolder, lie down. The sentences of my dress, the speech my skirt makes at the edges of his hand. Said, ambassador, night over. Said, sail it. Said, it does you, God. Does you, good, good God, it does you. the one-winged, horse-eyed bird black flinging dusk around, jet and star and jet and star. But what was I saying? Lie down. And I'm going to end on a very new poem from another series called The Flower Suites, which is very influenced by the children I work with. Ears on this site, I hear what I accomplish each night, and it goes soundless, goes the way of boats. Drifting, I have built a wafer to sail me on, and it tastes like dirt. It looks like zero. And I have invented a knife of air, and I have rehearsed a joke of errors. And I have fashioned a rainbow of bricks. And I have made the last possible movement. And everything I do is not done by morning. By the end of the story, I have built a night for myself, and music comes out of it.
Me again. You guys holding up out there? Packed in like sardines in the back. Bring it on. When I asked Ann Waldman what I should say about her, she told me to say, just say I'm a woman and I have a job. Yes. But I think I can do a little better than that. Ann Waldman is the author of over 30 books of poetry, including her most recent Jovis and Killer Cure. She has an international reputation as a dynamic performer of her work, and she serves as the director of the Jack Kerouac School, where she is in the midst of her 21st summer writing program. So I don't want to hear you guys complaining, because you're in like week four. Upcoming projects for Anne include the 20th anniversary edition of Fast Speaking Woman and Jovis 2 to be published shortly by Coffeehouse Press. Yesterday, I asked Anne which story I was allowed to tell. Oh, Max, she said, tell the levitating story. They haven't heard that. So this one is my favorite. It involves a birthday party that was held at Anne's house about 2 years ago. It was late in the evening, and the general merriment had reached an all-time high. I was in the kitchen working my way towards the door when a pasty-faced, terror-stricken MFA student ran in and grabbed me by the arm. What happened? I said. It's, Anne. Yes, I said calmly. Well, we were in the backyard, and Sean said we should all try levitating her at home. What? Spell it out. We dropped her. You what? We dropped her. You dropped her? You can't drop her? She's Ann Waldman. What do you mean you dropped her? Go pick her up. This is why our office boasts the world's largest bottle of Advil for Ann's back and my nerves. All levitations aside, she has spent the past two decades forging her own work and relentlessly stoking the fire under her students. She inspires, she enrages, she wants to keep the world safe for poetry. She believes poetry can save the world. She's the only teacher I've ever had for whom I would write 100 sonnets in a night and or do push-ups in public. She's the most interesting person in the world to have lunch with. She embodies the divine in the divine madness of poetry. There is no doubt in my mind that the task of writing our chapter in history will rest on those who fundamentally believe it can be written. Ann Waldman is one of those people. Please welcome Ann Waldman.
Thank you, thank you, thank you all. I want to thank particularly the incredible staff and faculty that have made this all possible. Simulacrum, not a real life, cheap imitation. Coruscated distress, condition, or contradiction makes strange of. Brutal instances hiss and plague her. Weird sister, genocide. Bruised,
broken, locked in hallucination, excoriate their crime, speak out and beyond. Menace bodes ill, ill shrieks ill, feeds on self, seethes, writhes under literalization of death, loathing itself, bloated on greed, more greed to slaughter. Whatever gets in your way, land grab, more slaughter, divide, nullify, murder, slaughter, and disempower a people, a race, a culture. How much abuse? Dirty the river, starve the mother, tighten the rope, consummate a dark plan, and glee, all buried, all done, dumped, degraded, loathing, mass graves. Bloody-handed Serb fired from a hilltop. There's history in it, says the villain, and we are safe, excused the way we live now. Are we sever a neck? Are we rather stand condemned? Never, never topple, mock, deride the temple, political decorum, mistrust the infidel, heathen, sadistic life goes nourished, psyche a shambles, grief crawls in a dungeon, twist inside victim's torment, incognito mask for slaughter, botched sentry votes another subhuman direction. I, lattice of wolf, of garden, of traffic survived a dawn. Pick up again a dirty war. Spit it out. What kind of life to live? Spit it up when life is cheap, fucked over, codified, mechanistic, armed, disarmed. Find a word. Armistice? Now explain. Dashed in semantics. Only place is to live inside others' torment. All response tinny, forlorn, knee-jerk, liberal recoils in hounded night sound, horror battered, limb torn from limb. How won't any speak, scream, or whimper, act, say, stop, hold, enough? The unconscionable act, headlines writ in blood, Muslim child raped and dying in. When they say a pool of blood, a small thing, a very small thing, ruthlessly shot down, degraded body beyond recognition. What takes to light your love? Just a child? Silence from Mars, days dying, silence from the sated world, plagued of silence, damned to no speech. What takes to say your piece of silence sway? The end of nature, we say, glibly, dead of tongue, of harangue, humanity in chains, subjugated, bent to obfuscate, well-meaning crunch of any other tribe, death squadrons, annihilate the senses. What mouth-to-mouth resuscitates the ghost of night? What are we living for? What demon speaks in me to say, I want us all to die? Angry poem. I was thinking of Robin. Robin said this is an angry poem when he was reading. I'd like to read a little bit from little chunk of Ilvis that's in the beautiful Psalm 151, edited by our wonderful, brilliant, energetic Laird Hunt, who's off in Paris still waiting to finish his MFA. So I want to also commend all the active students who are making these things continue. This is part of Ilvis called Nerves, Terrorist for Language. Puts the splint in her mouth every night so she won't grind the world into being a Hamlet's mill. Do the stars above rule destiny? Or are we simply points on a synergistic map? How does my heat correspond to that star? Her body is like a sieve on the one hand, a rock worn down by weathering time on the other. Come closer. Did I not agree? Time's a spiral, creating and destroying over and over, a fine grind, dust to the kingdoms. Dentist says she is eating her teeth. She bites her lover rapturously, Anaximander once announced oracularly that the cause of things being born and perishing is their mutual injustice to each other in the order of time. As is meet, he said, for they are bound to atone forever for their mutual injustice. But she and her lover are not enemies. No need to invent that wheel. Nerves is the modal hum. This is written one night. Moons in Scorpio know what that means. She prays to the moon for a good catch. She takes on Professor Anselm Hollow's accurate letter to an aspiring poet, generic letter to all young poet, man, womankind, a stickler he, the school of don't rush into print poetics. Nerves blind to attraction to nerves, something like when it's science, the scholar says. Nerves, he is dreaming of nerves again. The margins are safe, but deeper inside the book, he is thinking it's nerves, nerves again. We'll go where nerves retreat and study balances the mind, top like top page. Nerves again, come down upon me. Nerves again, and have your argument alive and await the tide for another siesta that will be day that brings drink with literature, as in smoke and news. So you go out on the mall again, lift up from bed of sex and news. Okay, his, her, ream, sharp, sleep patter, his restlessness, her, trance, or old patterns repeat. Nerves. The girl had seen how people pray to the moon for a good catch. These ladles were small on earth, but through incantation became enormous and were filled with refreshing water. I am shining, I am willing it so. I am shining, I hear through words. I will say whale, I will say seal, I will name walrus, or in another culture, she saw, she heard, after a 12-year training period, would be entitled to wear a coat of crimson and yellow feathers and carry a golden rod. He, she, was seated next to the king and could grant pardon for any crime except murder or treason. What is sweeter than mead, intimate conversation? Terror in language. This is my object poem, smell of new mown hay. This is my object, a golden home dome in Iowa. This is it, a prison, a railroad apartment, maze, jungle, rising into sky, tropical bugs and night buzz. There were stones in front of my eyes, no flashlight, but love box full of the coins of love. The 3D of the computer keys, resilient magics, or mortification. Someone dies, and then a cat dies, one of a clan. Oh, clan life was reincarnation. Clan life held us, held the girl, a place to be, place. Clan life wide like a river. It was wide like a river can be, and be currenting, currenty, the child said. She saw, she heard how vast, vast clan life is exciting. It is the only life because we are together. We are clan, not just brother, not just sister, all that, but clan too. Clan like token range clay made. Clan like normal propensity. What could least some say or not the inbredness of it? Clan blind bristle of clan in mourning. Everyone hungry or wanting to agree, but not I could, I would be leader. That was the buddiness of elder. Elder was a history, was an old story. Carried the blame, nerves, responsibility, woke to duty because it was clan, needed governance. Clan not so secure when you think on it. Tribes are different. How? Tribes are summation and have the animals intact and wild tune nut named and imitated like shaman sympathetic magic clan might. Come later, beaver clan, bring back the industry of beaver. Clarity, clarity, only a naming call. Dear Surface Crest, I know that you consider yourself a poet in the tradition of Kenneth Patchen. It occurs to me that you might find it instructive to read what else was published in American poetry at the time Kenneth Patchen was writing and publishing, not just the big names, but the field he came out of in the 1930s, and to study the ways in which he does differ from his immediate predecessors and contemporaries. In a book, on the page, the poem needs to be more than just raw material to present to an V these days, and in most places, increasingly illiterate audience in ways intentionally or unintentionally designed to cover up weaknesses in the writing, such as unexamined cliches, received ideas, tired beat, stage props. If Whitman's barbaric yawp had only been, or truly he is being definitely ironic vis-a-vis the academics of his day, that we would not be reading him today. Came across this quote from an interview Frank O'Hara gave a year before he died, 1965. Speaking of Robert Lowell, he says that Lowell seemed to him to be working in, quote, a manner that lets him get away with things that are really just plain bad, but you're supposed to be interested because he's supposed to be so upset. See, in a reading situation, everybody involved easily gets into this kind of make-believe interest and upset, i.e. false and ephemeral emotion, and I imagine it can become a kind of drug, a place to go for a rush, especially for the reader. In a book, however, it's all there on the page, and the page is all there is, no special pleading. Paul Blackburn, who you mentioned in a poem, was at his best a great master of this, as in the finest Japanese brush painting, which looks the most spontaneous, has been the hardest to achieve. It is never formless. It has mastered its own form to the point where that form has become invisible. With best wishes. No caught turmoil to bother her poet's head beat, but sleep. And now I'd like to call Stephen Taylor out on stage. We have two little, just few lines that Stephen has put to music. These are versions of Tibetan Amdo love songs called Lagzaz. So these are versions of these charming little love songs.
I can't tell how much I miss my friend. If I could say it, it would sound hollow. Half my bed is empty, and my flesh and insides are cold. The way I miss is something like that. Friend, inside my heart, after we've been together, I say, will you be able to go to the end? If you can't see it through, then enjoying each other was a waste of time. And your words and lovemaking bring wicked suffering.
Thank you, Stephen. And we'll close with a blues. You've all heard of Kali Yuga poetics, but have you heard the Kali Yuga blues?
You know it's raining poison. Oh, it's coming down. All you gotta do is check it out and look around. But you've got your ticket. You paid some dues. So why have you got the Kali Yuga blues? the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga blues, the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga blues, the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga blues. Prices soar, nothing's free, and no one's gonna hear your plea. Oh, help me your way, Mohammed Christ. Forget it, baby, they're all on heavenly ice. The Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga blues. The Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga blues. The Kali Yuga blues. The Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga blues. Leaders lying, just making business deals, and everyone complaining. Nothing really congeals, and your heart is aching. Your lover ain't home. Battery's gone dead, and they disconnect the phone. The Cold War's over, but the globe is heating up. Babies dying everywhere, mamas cracking up, and mean fantasies start to warp your mind. You'd like to pull your life together, you just don't have the time. Hallelujah. Blues, the Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga blues. The Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga blues. The Kali Yuga blues. Time is running out. It's irreversible, they say. But I'm a dissipative structure, and I want to get my way. Exchange your energy with me, and we'll just keep going. Find utopia on the planet Mars and call it a happy home. The Kali Yuga blues. The Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga blues. The Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga blues. The Kali Yuga blues. Life's so complicated, hot and cold, night and day, and the dark ages are upon us in every conceivable way. But my head is so tired, I've been working too hard. Meanwhile, the planet's burning, oh, listen to this bard. I tried to warn my mama, she died in pain and grief. And daddy's left this world too, to find some bardo beast. And brothers trying to make it in hungry ghost Hollywood. And the children want another video game and some bad cheap food. The Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga blues. The Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga blues. Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga blues. The Kali Yuga blues. You know it's raining poison, it's coming down. All you gotta do is check it out and look around. But you got your ticket, you paid your dues. So why have you got the Kali Yuga blues? Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne Waldman. Jim Carroll has done something that not many poets do. He's slipped furtively over some line to another level of popularity or fame, acquired some mythic stature. Many of you have probably seen the Basketball Diaries, know that he first published his early book of poetry at the age 21, living at the movies as though premonition of the Basketball Diaries. It's a lot of fun, actually, working at this school with Anne Waldman and Max Regan, writing poetry, teaching poetry, bringing poets here to perform. There are a lot of questions and requests we get, though, and some of those make us very sad, like the people who send in their manuscripts wanting comments from Jack Kerouac. Can't do it. Others have heard that Jim Morrison was cited at Naropa just last month. Can't satisfy that. And then there are those who want to know when Jim Carroll is coming back. Here he is.
need a little more light here. I think I might have. Reading glasses. Actually, I think I saw Jim Morrison myself last night. This is called I Am Not Kurt Schwitters. I am not Kurt Schwitters. I am not a blue rider tracking the German cobblestone streets in snow in the old part of town, a port nowhere near. I am not Sal Mineo. I am not St. Bernard of Clairvaux, nor Abelard, for that matter. I am not the stooped woman before dawn beneath the bridge and platform lights at the spit of the devil's station, waiting too early for the train comes much, much later. I am not the moon tonight, thin crescent serrated like a Yemenite dagger. I am not Leo Szilard at the red traffic light. I am not what I am not, a wren on my fire escape. I am not Taras Bulba, wouldn't want to be. I am not a framer of the Constitution, not a Merovingian king, nor Charlemagne anointed by caprice. I am not a child of any czar, I don't think. I am not the corpse buried beneath snow, waiting for spring to be found. I am not Richard Nixon, neither a flaming monk or Buddha. I am not the sum of impositions, my own nor others, nor subdued by destiny, but by my faith and its misgivings, by will's abuse, misunderstandings, misjudgments. Without me, the oceans sleep like glass. The snows do not avalanche, changing continually the shape of the mountain.